They say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy?
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51.
We're here.
The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to a very enlightened episode of Hysteria 51.
You couldn't enlighten yourself with a house fire.
Why do you suck so bad?
Bad parenting.
That tracks. Broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension, also known as Chicago. I'm your host and lead alien liaison this week. My name is Brent Hand, and you already heard from Conspiracy Bot. He's the robot I built to help with the show, and instead, well, he kind of just does what you've already heard.
Make this dumpster fire bearable.
Yeah, that's it.
Hey, why is he here?
Well, first off, that's Kyle, C-Bot's minion.
Seriously, why is he here?
David, don't you feel the love? I can't even get to you the regular way, and they're already shitting on you.
I've got all my third eyes open and chakras ready to receive that love.
Just all your orifices open if you're going to be around these bots. I just want you to know that. Now, to answer your question, Mr. David Flora of Blurry Photos and Quiz Bang Bang Trivia fame has graciously offered to sit in for Go Forth while he's out on paternity leave.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
So there you go. Welcome in, Mr. David Flora.
What's up, everybody? I am excited to co-pilot this burning 747.
I hope they only find pieces of the tail fin.
Yeah, man. Thanks, man. What's going on?
Not much, man. Just trying to stay warm. It's been terrible. There's ice everywhere, you know, because we got snow and then it warmed up just enough for freezing rain on top of it, which just makes it all so much better.
The classic 1-2 punch to the nuts.
Right. And I didn't even have to pay for it this time. This week, we are talking Arrival of the Light Beings, how to prepare for the shift and contact with extraterrestrials. What's that all about?
Boy, I have so many questions. I am hopeful that we will find out with our guest.
Right. Well, this week, Linda Haley joins us for another talk about aliens, disclosure, and what the future holds for us.
Pain. Your future holds pain.
Shut up, dude.
And suffering.
Shh.
He's right, though. He's out of line, but he's right.
Yeah. Thanks, Falcon and the Winter Soldier there. Anyway, author Linda Haley has released Arrival of Light Beings, How to Prepare for the Shift and Contact with Extraterrestrials. That's the whole title. It's a hell of a job description, preparing people for the shift so that we can get along with extraterrestrials. Do you think you're qualified for that, David?
Absolutely. Yeah. Why wouldn't I be?
Yeah, the right. Yeah, well, we all need to brush up on our resumes, I guess, and make sure they're updated properly.
Brent, you shouldn't call them aliens or extraterrestrials. We learned in the book that you should call them persons or beings.
Yep. Treat them how you want to be treated.
Sure.
Is kind of the takeaway, because that's what they are, they're persons.
We are the ETs, right?
Right. Well, everyone's foreign to someone, I guess, right? It's an important timing for this, too, because we've all seen the Tic Tac videos and the Pentagon report to Congress, all 9 blistering pages of it.
Whew. Sounds like you are not a fan of the report.
That's a discussion for another time. I think saddened by its lacklusterness is maybe a better part, but I'll say at least we got something. Anyway, Linda sets out here to provide context to these reports and to shed light on the objectives of persons.
Beings.
Yeah. I'm not even sure of my own objectives, so kudos to her for knowing what these light beings want. But, you know, whatever. It's written in the style of narrative fiction, but the book is an autobiography, so to speak, of the author's growing awakening and acceptance of her role in the planet's evolution. David.
Yeah.
Tell me who Linda is. Tell me about her.
Well, you're in luck, Brent, because I have a bio right in front of me.
Oh, shit. One of the best ones do. Hit me with it.
Linda Haley is the founder and executive director of the Reiki Center, a comprehensive natural wellness center for people and their pets. She is a Reiki master teacher, advanced craniosacral therapist, and practitioner of multiple natural therapies. After decades of contacts by non-human messengers, Haley delivers their urgent appeal for greater understanding of spiritual truths, the importance of a deeper connection to Source, capital S, and why these beings are now advancing toward Earth. Oh, Lord, they coming.
I don't know if your chakras are ready for that bio. Do you feel like you're ready to have Linda on here and open your third and fourth and fifth eyes?
I think my chakras hit a patch of black ice and ran off the road a long time ago, Brent.
Well, Linda is
they're messed up.
She's a fantastic interview. It's going to be a lot of fun, and she's got a lot to tell us about what we don't know, what's out there, and how she can help you if you're not feeling yourself, so to speak. That's coming up after the break with more Hysteria 51. Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it. So it's very high on pronunciation, too. So you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know, our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation. Yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, you know. If you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do, and then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in, and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition, and it hears you. You get to use, like, the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused or really cool. I'd go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and both of us have given the seal of approval because we want to do this long-term, and it's something that it works. You know, and we don't do long-term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now. Get started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete your 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off. rosettastone.com/today. Do it today. Nation, we want pictures of your dogs. That's just a personal request from me, but while you look for a good one, let me tell you about something near and dear to mine and Brent's hearts, your dog's health. You may have noticed lots of dogs suffering from health issues these days, joints, odors, it's not good. Actress Katherine Heigl noticed these issues too, and after a ton of research, there was one place she found we can look to support any dog's health, their food. So she created Superfood Complete, food for your four-legged friend that's made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Her company, Badlands Ranch, also supports the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Now, I know Brent has used Superfood Complete with his lovable meatballs, and they absolutely love it. He said it's easy to prepare, both his guys grow crazy for it, and he loves knowing what he's giving them is healthy and full of ingredients that are actually beneficial to his little rapscallions. You can try it for yourself by going to BadlandsRanch.com/hysteria and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/hysteria today.
Welcome back, Hysteria Nation, and more importantly, Linda Haley, welcome in to Hysteria 51.
Oh, thanks so much, Brent. Really looking forward to talking to you.
Well, thank you for joining us on this very cold afternoon. You said you're in Columbus, Ohio, and so not quite as cold, but I'm sure you got some snow, right?
No snow right now, but bitter cold.
Well, speaking of bitter, I'm kind of bitter with you because I'm dealing with snow and ice and everything else.
You need to make snowmen. I don't. I just get cold.
You know, I'm complaining here, though. And David, how many inches of snow have you had so far this year?
In the past couple of weeks, it got up around 75 inches. we've had a nice reprieve from that for the past about 4 or 5 days. It's been nice and like 2 degrees.
That just blows. 75 inches of snowfall this year already. So yeah, well, I'll count my blessings where I can get them. But more importantly, we're not here to talk about snowfall. We're here to talk about Linda and your new book. I got to tell you, this whole book, you know, when you talk about a whole book, is because you and your experiences with extraterrestrial beings. Before we dive into it, how is that like being a person and being contacted? How does that shape your life before you even come into writing a book like this?
Well, I guess the reason I was asked to write the book is because I understand fear. I was terrified. I just absolutely terrified. You know, I'd wake up in the morning and I've had, you know, 3 orange triangles on my upper arm that I know I didn't put on. You know, I would have experiences that no one would have believed. So for about 20 years, I didn't tell a soul because I knew that I probably would be seen as crazy.
That's something that we see even in my past. You have issues or things. You're living in a house, things are going on. No one talks about it. I don't know if it's even with like family members, I think it really is a fear of people aren't going to believe me, or it was my experience and I don't want to be perceived one way or the other. It's just part of the human condition, I think.
Or as Linda, you bring up in the book, some people don't want to talk about it because they think it might invite more of it in.
Yeah.
Sure. No, it took me about, you know, a very long time to get up the courage to write the book. And actually, I am thrilled with the response because I'm hearing from people. It's like, oh my gosh, this is what happened to me, but I couldn't tell anybody. People thought that I was nuts. I was going to have to be locked up someplace. But you said exactly what I would like to say. So I guess I got some confirmation that it was okay to write it.
Did you feel like it was like opening the floodgates for people sometimes? Because once you say, I've had this experience, did you have a lot of people that came out and said, me too, thank you for giving me an outlet?
Oh, gosh. And yeah, the other thing that's kind of interesting is that the guides that told me to write the book about maybe a year and a half ago kept talking about it's urgent that you get it out now. It's urgent. Well, I didn't know that in June of 2021, the Pentagon was releasing the report on UFOs. So it was urgent that it came out a month before that report did.
And that's something I want to get into, and we're going to. You tell this story, the one that they came for and they wanted you to do, as a narrative fiction, meaning instead of an autobiography, you tell it that way. What was your choice for telling your story in that type or that manner?
Well, I wanted as many people as possible to be able to connect to the story. And for some reason, I just thought that it would be more readable if I kind of made it look like it was almost fictionalized. But the reality is about 99% of everything that happened to Olive, and my husband's middle name is Arthur, so she married Artie, So what happened to Olive and Artie really did happen. So I did it more just to try to reach as many people as possible because I didn't want people to feel like I was in any way preaching to them.
Right. Well, when you have experiences like this, like you said, you for years and you're not coming forward, and then you're told that you need to write to this book, you need to get the word out. It sounds weird to say it this way, but why you, and I'm sure you asked the why me, like, why are some people chosen over others? And I know you talk about this, but what is the reasoning that you believe that, like, some people are their designated mouthpieces, so to speak?
So thank you. Yes, I did ask that question several times because I was asked to write the book and I said, I don't want to write a book.
Right.
And so I finally said, why me? I said, well, because you understand fear and you understand the response that people are going to have to us becoming more present, not just in your country, but around the world. And so we want you to let people know that we're not here to subjugate, to dominate, to eat you. We're not here to control you. We're trying to help you. And so it took me a very long time for me to believe that this was real. It was really happening. So I can understand how there'll be some people who absolutely will take a very long time before they know what's really going on.
Was it a hard thing for you to process when it started happening? You're at home, you're being contacted by people, these beings, they're wanting you to be the one to spread their words, their teaching. What is the process of you coming to terms with that? I'm sure you go through the whole, I must be crazy. Then you go through the, I'm dreaming. And then it goes, no, I have to do this. Like, how do you ration that out in your life and the people around you? Cause you eventually told the people, what's that like?
That's a great question. And looking back, I think the reason that I believed that it was real was because other people were having similar experiences. Or they said, I have a message for you that was identical to the message I was getting. Or somebody said, I saw what your guide looked like, and I never told anybody what the guide looked like. So it got to the point that I thought, well, maybe I'm not crazy. You know, maybe this is really happening. And it took probably several years before I really came to terms with the fact that, okay, I need to bite the bullet and acknowledge this is real.
One thing, and I know that David and I have talked about this on here, and John and I have talked about this on here, and a lot of the different types of beings. And one of the things, like when you're talking about these light beings, they're coming, they're talking to you. The concept of beings that are that far beyond us is hard for us. Well, it's hard for someone to comprehend, even if they believe in it, let alone someone that doesn't. Meaning, if you were to say grays, people go, okay, like grays is in like the gray aliens.
Sure.
But you say light beings and some people almost go cross-eyed because they have a hard time figuring that out in their head. Was it hard for you to comprehend or to tell people, or why is that the reaction sometimes when these advanced beings, as you say, are having these conversations and coming forward to us?
You know, one thing that's kind of interesting is that we assume that they're just starting to come in, you know, to have contact with humans. But as anybody who's studied this for any length of time, they've never left. You know, they have always been here. They've always been around. You know, there's rock art, there's, you know, Renaissance paintings, there's legends. But what's happened is that they're starting to intercede now to help us. Before, they were just coming in and they had a presence, but they were not really trying to warn us or to work with us. Now, because of the fact that we're so close to causing, you know, irreparable harm to our planet, they're stepping in because, like, no, you know, you're like distant cousins. We can't see you implode. We can't see you blow up this planet, destroy the environment, the oceans, the air, each other. So it's kind of like, wait till dad gets home. Well, dad's coming in.
Right. Well, so there, that leads me to my next question, I guess, is you are someone that they've contacted and there's other people out there.
Yes.
If someone like David or myself want to be open to this, are we able to speak to them? Is someone like a layperson, I guess would be the terminology. Can it be learned, or is it just a roll of the dice, or what do we need to know?
So I've had some, you know, experiences that even now seem like they're very difficult to believe. You know, I was, you know, just in a meditation, I was asking guides and helpers, can you please just give me somebody who's a 3D human so that I know I'm not making this up?
Mm-hmm.
And within a week, somebody showed up in my place of business. I work at the Reiki Center in Columbus and said, I'm from the Galactic Federation and I'm here to help you. I'm like, nobody knew that I made this request out to the universe. Nobody knew right. that. But those are the things that sometimes happen. And we have a feeling that they have to look like little green men or grays. But the reality is there are many, many races that look just like us. They may have a slightly different shape to an eye, or they might be bald instead of having a full head of hair. But for the most part, they're humanoid. And so there's a really good chance that, Brent and Dave, you probably have people in your studios or you've talked to that you may not even realize are not really from around here.
Well, I question a lot of people, but that's more for their taste in music, I think.
Linda, you mentioned a Galactic Federation. I'd like to know more about that. Could you expound on that a little bit?
I can. So it's a little bit like the UN for larger bodies of planets. And some of the people might know Edgar Cayce, the Sleeping Prophet, in the 1940s and 50s. He used to do a lot of intuitive readings. And part of what he would do is say that there were sojourns on different planets. And when you were on Venus, and so many people believe that just because we don't have an awareness of, you know, intelligent life on the other planets does not mean it's not there. So take the concept of people in our galaxy that come together as kind of a galactic UN. And so there are individual groups that are looking at, you know, all of the inhabitants of that sector. And then I'm quite sure that there's a lot more than that. I'm mostly working with the one for our sector.
How big is our sector?
Well, it goes, if you consider the galaxy, the Milky Way, you can think about there's thousands and thousands of planets that have the potential of being inhabited. And that's just the level of habitation that we understand. But we assume that if it's 4,000 degrees, that, of course, nobody could live there. But we just don't understand what does a life force look like that would be on a planet that's different than ours.
I think that's an important thing, because that's something that we have a very narrow-minded view of life. And I think that as we progress through, you know, the cosmos, as we hope to and will, that is going to become something that will probably be much more eye-opening to us, because we're from one planet who had its own rules or way of evolving life here, and we still find life all the time here, living around geothermal vents in the oceans and things all that right. don't even match up with a lot of things that we are used to. I think that's an important thing to think of. No matter where you fall on this whole topic, life is going to be, and always is, even on this planet, makes you question our thought processes.
Oh, definitely. I completely agree with you. And, you know, in galactic terms or cosmic terms, it was not that long ago that we didn't know that there was life on other continents.
I was wondering, Linda, in the beginning of the book, you mentioned being a hardcore skeptic at one time.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if you meant, were you skeptical of aliens or extraterrestrials, or of just all paranormal topics, cryptids, ghosts, everything included?
So it was a combination of being skeptical and being terrified by the possibility that it was real. Mm-hmm. So I was very skeptical of everything that was, we also talk about some natural therapies. I was you know, my primary background was in traditional medicine. So I was very skeptical of natural therapies. Now I run a natural wellness center. I was terrified of anything that had to do with extraterrestrials or odd things. I was raised in a home that was very haunted and was seen, it was viewed several times by people who are professional Ghostbusters. And the experiences that I had were absolutely terrifying. And, you know, there was very little that I could do to protect myself.
Was that something that you were experiencing yourself, or were your family members experiencing that as well?
Primarily me. I mean, they're little things. At first, it was kind of fun. You know, you could hear knocks, and we recorded a woman singing in the basement and, you know, things moving. And I mean, then it got a little scarier and got to the point that it was terrifying when, like, my covers would be ripped down. And I'm a teenage girl at that point. My covers ripped down in the middle of the night and hands would be all over me.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Or I would be in the shower and there would be a man standing in front of me.
No, thank you.
So it was scary stuff.
No doubt.
For the center that that you're at, you mentioned some natural medicine, I guess. Would that be the right term? Does that include homeopathy?
We do not do anything that is medical like homeopathy, but we do a lot of intuitive work. I do a lot of house clearing. So now I go into people's homes and I clear them of unwanted visitors. We do a lot of channeling. We do intuitive work. We helped you connect to your guides and helpers. So I've come a long way from, I don't want anybody to know I could do this, to now teaching it.
Do you feel like when you're doing this, that you're opening yourself up to, or if someone is, like you said, you don't want to talk about something because then it makes it real. In doing these things, you're clearing these spirits. Is it opening yourself up to more issues, or is it that you feel comfortable in what you're doing? I don't know if that makes sense.
No, that's an excellent point. And I've heard that a great deal. I think that you are possibly impacted, whether you believe that it's happening to you or not. You know, are you impacted by 75 feet of snow, as David said? You know, whether you believe you have 75 feet of snow in Colorado, you still have, you know, the snow there. So it's kind of like if you are just choose not to deal with something, doesn't mean it's not happening to you. So what I try to do is teach people how to intuitively connect to what's going on and protect yourself. People are not being taught how to protect themselves energetically. And there's an awful lot of things that can happen to you, you know, energetically bombard, psychic attacks, people doing remote viewing. There's an awful lot of things that you may not have an awareness of that are certainly happening to you. So we like people to realize that in order to be fully protected, you better have a better arsenal instead of just saying, no, I don't think I want to deal with it. That just doesn't work very well.
No, thanks. It's just going to go away, right?
There's something I was wondering about ever since when you talk about your first Reiki session that you experienced and the release that you had. Is that something that just anybody can walk in off the street and do a session and have something get released? Or can you expound just a tad bit on that for me?
My first entry into natural wellness was, I was very sick. I was part of traditional medicine and that made me sicker. And I found a Reiki practitioner, and within the matter of just, you know, an hour, there were an awful lot of things that were taken care of in my body, and I actually got well. So being skeptical, I thought, well, I was just making it up. I just, you know, fabricated it, my imagination. But then I found out that from my eye doctor that my eyes had improved. And then I found out from, you know, another doctor that my bone scan shows my bones had improved. Anyways, all these things were happening. And that's when I really decided that I wanted to learn more about it, to find out, wow, if this is real and I'm looking at concrete evidence that natural methods can make a significant difference, I want to find out more about it. And so from that, I created a center. It's called the Reiki Center in Columbus, Ohio. And we're now the oldest and the largest natural wellness center in the region. So we bring in trained practitioners to be able to do things like release spirit attachments. And many people know what possession is, but there's an awful lot that can happen that doesn't go under the category of possession. And, you know, if for some reason there is an earthbound spirit who's terrified of going into the light, they can actually take up residence in your body. And so we release spirit attachments on a daily basis, and people feel better. And they don't even, sometimes we don't even tell them what we do, but all of a sudden their personality is returned back to normal. They're happier. You know, their odd cravings, you know, maybe they were vegan and all of a sudden they're craving raw meat. You know, that's not them. That was what was taking up residence in your body. Anyway, so we do a host of things that may fall into the category of being exceptionally weird, but it's real. And so that's how we try to help people where they are.
That's something that we've heard a lot with. We've talked to people that work with spirits and stuff and possession and people not acting the way they are, or changes in mood and personality. That's got to be weird to say someone comes in for something and you realize, you know, I don't care what it is, to release something like that, you know, that they might not know about it. Do you have people come in that say I'm possessed and you realize that they're making it up? I mean, does that ever happen? Do you have, or is there like a vetting process as far as that goes? Or people that try to, like, I don't know if that's an exploiting of the system, whatever you want to call it, or is that not something that usually happens?
We don't usually see people who claim to be possessed. We see people who say, I just don't feel like myself. Or they'll say odd things, like they'll refer to themselves as like we, you know, we don't want to go to that meeting, or she doesn't feel like having dinner with you. They'll just say odd things. And then the family members and friends will just think that they're having an off day. We know otherwise. And that's kind of a specialty of mine, releasing earthbound spirits from an individual or from a location. It's just a different way of trying to work with energy.
In the vein of what Brent was just asking you, Linda, about like vetting things and kind of recognizing that, do you ever come, you actually touch on this, it's buried kind of deep in the book, but you touch on maybe like abduction accounts or experiences that maybe seem fake or made up. Do you, are you able to spot those in the wild? Like, is that a skill you've developed, or is that kind of a hard thing to know?
Well, I've never told somebody you're lying, you're making it up, I don't believe you, but there have been experiences that perhaps are not something that I've ever had. So I think I've been in this long enough that just because I've never experienced it doesn't mean that it hasn't happened. Mm-hmm. Because I'm exposed to an awful lot of, every single day, some new and different odd things. But there are people who like, you know, the attention, the thrill that comes of having something exotic happen to them.
Yeah.
So, and I understand that. From my perspective, that's saying there's something that's part of your composition that says, nobody is paying attention to me. Nobody's listening to me. I need somebody to like me. So I approach things more from the psychology of what is missing in your life that you need to create something that is so fabricated.
I can respect that. In the book, you talk about ghosts, crystals, Reiki, possession, abduction, guardian angels, chakras, channeling. I mean, it's a lot of stuff all woven kind of together. Are you, Linda, are you confident in saying that everything we think of as paranormal is connected and is a manifestation of this energy or this source?
What I'm trying to say is that, and the book is entitled How to Prepare for the Shift and Contact with Extraterrestrials. That's the subtitle. The primary title is Arrival of the Light Beings. But when I say prepare for the shift is this, what's happening right now, where so many people are starting to have an awareness of things and perhaps even delve into it that maybe, you know, 5-10 years ago, they would never have had an interest in. You know, people are interested now in crystals and spirituality versus religion, and ghost hunting, and understanding, you know, different manifestations of energy. So I think what's all related is the fact that people are opening up to probably a more expansive view of what energy is. And so everything, if the core of everything is energy, there's a lot of different ways that energy can be interpreted.
Do you think someone seeing a Bigfoot type creature out in the woods would be something like this, like a manifestation of energy, and then or another dimensional being or something?
You know, what I think is that I think there are portals that energy comes in, and Bigfoot is often seen around. There's UFO sightings. There's a complete disappearance, even though you're following, mm-hmm. you know, a cryptid. And I think that there's more to wormholes and portals that science really understands at this point. I mean, even Einstein speculated that it was possible to do, you know, travel using, you know, forms of wormholes and portals that, you know, even now we don't quite understand. But I really think things slip in and things slip out.
We see these beings, whether, you know, Bigfoot or whatever, around these areas. And that means that they're fulfilling a function that we don't understand. And you're saying that we need to be able to talk to these beings and get ready for this ascension, so to speak, you know, and this shift. And now in the mainstream news, we are seeing with the Pentagon, the CIA coming out, they're talking about finally, you know, coming forward and talking about UFOs. They're making now a division that's going to look into these things. Are these steps in the right direction, do you think, or are these the government
still moving too slow?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I think is interesting is I think Hollywood actually started to prepare us for it maybe back in the 50s. Because Hollywood has been working, I think, with the government to do kind of a soft disclosure.
So you think it is being drip fed to us and has been for a long time?
Well, think even further back in the 30s when, you know, some of the radio programs caused people to jump out of windows because they were so positive that aliens were landing. And that was a Halloween radio program. Mm. So they're probably terrified if they did tell us the truth. We would have mass hysteria on their hands. The reality is we are one of the few countries in the entire world that have not released our UFO files. If you look around, most of the other countries are very open about it. It's not seen as a major government secret. And I think that it's time that, you know, some of the congressional committees that have started, the brand new one that started 2 weeks ago, I think that it's about time that we stopped, you know, with all the secrecy, because if the government is hiding that from us when we already have proof otherwise, what else are they hiding?
I guess my next question then would be, though, why is there the secrecy from these beings that only talk to some people and they work in these weird ways where they come to you at night and they do things? Because I always look at it that way. There's like this two-way road. We need to open things up, but I feel like they do too. But then I always hear, well, we're not ready. Well, it's like a double-edged sword, right? I guess I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah. No, and I agree. What we keep hearing is that, you know, we don't want to scare you. We want to make sure that you know that we're coming in peace. You know, and let's face it, you know, whenever we've had the opportunity, we tried to shoot them out of the sky. You know, so it's entirely possible that
truth, justice, and the American way.
You know what? There's validity in them being a little nervous.
I'd be nervous to come here and try to help us.
Right.
Well, yeah, that's probably why, you know, they came, you know, 5,000 years ago before we had nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
And they're monitoring from a distance.
So I guess my big question for you is, for our listeners, they haven't read the book yet. They're going to go get the book. What's your big takeaway? Do you want them to, before they go and get it or they read this book, what is your one thing that you hope everyone takes from all of this?
Well, I think, see, I don't really care about UFOs. I care about the occupants. I don't care that, you know, there's different kinds of UFOs. I want to know, why are they coming? And bottom line, they're coming because we've pretty much called them. When we started shooting off atomic bombs in 1945, that was a calling card that's saying, whoa, okay, you guys have moved to the point that you could potentially destroy each other, and then you could potentially destroy the planet. And it's just like having like a Calder mobile. If you have one of those little pieces that's not there, it throws the balance off. So what happens if we blow up Earth? We've got a very fragile balance of all of the other planets and asteroids and moons. And so if for some reason we blow up Earth, and, you know, there's evidence that there was a planet between Mars and Jupiter called Marduk that is now an asteroid belt. So what happens to the other planets? And then they also, what happens to the adjacent solar system? So they have a reason to be concerned. And it's, you know, also for their own safety, because like throwing down dominoes, you never know where it's going to end.
Right.
But then the other thing is they're really worried about is artificial intelligence. That what we're hearing is some of them are coming back as a way to try to get us to understand that they once had emotions. They once, before they became more connected to this hive mentality, into more of connected to a robotic central intelligence, they missed that. They missed the individuality that they had, and they got so caught up in the excitement of being able to be connected to a computer that as a culture, they no longer know what it feels like. So they don't want humans to lose their humanity. So that's actually a really big one.
If Earth, like you said, is a piece that, you know, is small but significant in the grand scheme.
Yeah.
Are there other planets that are in the same situation?
There are. And if you actually have the ability to be able to connect, whether it's through meditation or by actually talking to a being that comes through, there are a lot of planets that are going through something pretty volatile right now. And in fact, some of the Star Wars movies apparently come fairly close to home, because some of the problems that they've had have been actually a little more something that we would see in more science fiction. So we're told that, yes, there are galactic wars. Yes, there are problems on other planets. And we are one of the planets going through what's known as the shift.
So are these growing pains that these planets usually go through, or and we're not special, or are we special? I guess, well, I guess everyone's special in their own way, but you know what I mean.
No, that's a good point. No, that's a really good point. So whatever this shift is, it is affecting us as individuals. Relationships are changing. We are moving from, you know, being more in our brain to being more in our heart. We're being challenged on a lot of different ways, you know, as individuals, but we're also being challenged as society. So look at all the cultural shifts going on. And that goes farther and farther out. And yes, Gaia, Earth, is changing. We've heard years ago that Gaia is stretching and is really getting tired of some of the things that we're doing to the planet. So look at all the volcanoes and the earthquakes, the extreme weather patterns. You know, there's a huge hole that's opening up in the middle of Africa that, if it continues, has the potential for splitting Africa apart. So we used to have a 100-year flood once every 100 years. Now we're seeing them several times in 1 year. So, yeah, there's a lot of things that are happening. And if anybody follows the Schumann resonance, which is the band of energy that surrounds the planet, it's supposed to be around 7.83 hertz, which is called the heartbeat of Earth. And for 60, 70 years, it was always around 7.83 hertz. But now there's spikes of 6 to 8,000 hertz. And about a year ago, the spikes were in the thousands instead of seven. So look what's happening on the planet. You know, there's as above, so below.
Can you tie any specific events or happenings on Earth to those spikes? Have you been able to look at that or anybody else?
Yeah. If you take it back to what was happening on those days, you can see that there were massive coronal mass ejections and microbursts and solar flares. And what's interesting, too, is that according to some authors, there are about 25 cultures that have said that we would be going through a major shift at a time in history in the future of Earth. And there are many people who say this is that time that has been said Earth will go through a major change. And there are some people who speculate that this is that time.
Is it more the sun that causes these spikes as opposed to humanity and all the crap that we throw out there?
You know, I've often wondered, is it because of what we're doing down here that is sending the volatile emotions up into the atmosphere and changing that? Or is it what's happening, you know, in the cosmos and, you know, the sun that is going through its own mass changes that is impacting us? We know, good grief, the moon can move tides and can change our personalities. So what is it that is happening to us that perhaps we don't really have awareness of?
That's a hard thing to grasp, you know, to think about.
I know. Chicken or egg.
Right?
Yeah.
What's next for you? Do you have anything else on the horizon, other books or anything else other than we know you have your center, but are you working on anything else specific?
Yeah, I would like to do a series of books that show how we can have, you know, a little bit like, remember the old TV show from 15 years ago, Touched by an Angel with Della Reese?
Mm-hmm.
So just the whole concept of we don't know who is helping us on our path. And, you know, I think that we have an awful lot of unseen visitors, and you can call them guides, helpers, angels, ancestors, whatever you want to call them. But we're not alone down here, and we have never been alone down here. So what would happen if we had more of an awareness of how they were helping us? I think that could be kind of an interesting series.
Yeah. If people can get past their hatred and social media dependence and figure out what's actually going on out there. Man, we're living in a weird time. No matter how you look at it, it's a weird time. This has been great. If our listeners want to follow you, want to find you, where can they follow you at? Where would you send them to?
So my email is linda@lindahaley.net. And my website is lindahaley.net. And if you'd like to find out about natural options, we do a lot remotely, literally all over the world. My website, website is thereikicenter.net.
Excellent. And we'll have all of these in our show notes. So guys, gals, if you want to find Linda, you want to talk to her, you want to learn more or go visit her at her center, that's going to have all your information. Linda, thank you so much for doing this.
This was great.
The book was fun. Talking to you has been fun. It's eye-opening, to say the least. We thank you so much for coming on here with us today.
Appreciate it. Thanks a bunch, guys.
Thank you so much. And guys, gals, we'll be right back after a quick break with more Hysteria 51.
After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, we thought, man, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Brent is trying a plan right now and says that it works like a charm from Chicago to Nashville as he makes his big old move. Mint Mobile is working for him. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. So ditch the overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited-time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3 month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's mintmobile, mintmobile.com/hysteria, hysteria. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/hysteria. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
I don't know if my chakras are ready for this discussion, man. I don't know. That was a lot to unpack. She threw out a lot of buzzwords and things in there.
Well, it's kind of like her book. I feel like it was packed with information and kind of like New Age all stars. Like there's a lot in there, and you know, to Linda's credit, it kept me entertained throughout and wanting to know, like, okay, well, what else, you know?
When she was talking about which sector of space we're in, my mind immediately went to Green Lantern. Like, we're space sector 2814. Thank you very much,
Brent. I reading this book, I had the thought, after all these races and stuff came in there, I was like, this is like the Green Lantern Corps.
Nerds.
Like, it's like when Ryan Reynolds goes to, well, you know, sorry for bringing up the movie.
Yeah, that's the,
visually,
yeah.
when he goes to that, to the planet, and there's all of them, and they're all different, and, you know, it's like, that's the first thing I thought of.
Yeah, you always talk about, in a lot of these times, we talk about these great councils. I guess, all right, well living off of that, or kind of not living off of that, but pivoting off of that is one of these things. And I mentioned this to her, and the thing that bothers me the most is they are so worried that we're going to blow ourselves up, we're going to hurt ourselves.
Yeah.
That they're going to come and just tell people through these secret little ways, and then the government, we need the government to come out and tell us. But they're not coming out and tell us. Why is everyone lying to everyone then? And why should we believe these people who are foreign to us in every
conceivable way,
if that is real, why should we believe them when they're just picking and choosing who to tell, while others are allegedly probing and abducting and doing hybridization and sexual reproduction and raping and doing all these horrible things? But they are advanced past us.
It's a dense cake. There's so much and so many things. So let me preface all of this by saying I am skeptical of everything, but I'm so open-minded to this, and that's why I have all these questions. I really do want to know more about this, but I can't help but think there's just too much in here for all of it to be real. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's my human nature. I think my problem is I get angry. I go, no, you know, fuck you. If you're not just going to come out and tell me something, then I don't care. And that's, you know, but yeah, you're right. Like,
you can rationalize the way they're, you know, that information is parsed out and stuff, I'm sure. But like,
can everything be connected? Is that what you're getting at?
I don't even, that's kind of one of the lower things for me to believe. Like, it's lower on the priority list to believe.
Yeah,
if everything is connected by the same source or something. I mean, a lot of it is very comforting to think about.
Well, and a lot, speaking of comfort, like that, you know, the Schumann resonance and things like that, you know, the frequencies of the earth, you know, that's been a lot of the stuff that we've talked about in New Age and, you know, and healings and things like that. Gaia versus climate change. Is Gaia getting mad because we're doing things, or are we doing things that's making the world go to shit, so to speak?
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, is there a difference per se, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if Linda's still listening to this, Linda, will you please send me a guide or somebody like Avatar to like talk to me? I would really love, I'm so open-minded about this, believe me. I would love to get spirit attachments released. I would love to have things not hurt in my body.
Right.
I would love to know and help others heal and or whatever. But, you know, am I just some shitty nobody?
Correct.
Who, you know, I am not one of the chosen ones to be able to
do this. Yeah, that's where I feel like, who's the chosen? How are the chosen chosen?
How are the chosen chosen? Who watches
Are you
the Watchmen?
Open? Exactly. You know, are you open to it for some reason? Or you just happen to have a something in your DNA? Or you happen to be in the right place on a Tuesday?
And also, in the book, and this is something I didn't get a chance to ask her because I'm not sure how to frame the question without sounding condescending, and that's not my intention at all, but there was a mention of these beings or these guides or even people who are awaken or woke and healing, helping others. There's this mention of a mission. That everybody has, you know, it's their mission to do that. Well, my question is, who is assigning the missions?
Yeah, like, is there literally a council, like, or is there a delegation somewhere where they've literally got filing cabinets? Okay, you're supposed to go talk to Lyndon, you're going to go talk to Bill, and you're going to be
Owen Wilson is sitting somewhere, like, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Going through the motions.
Yeah.
Wow. It's fascinating and frustrating and interesting and dumb all at once to me. And I don't mean, I know that sounds condescending.
No,
everything
you're right.
I'm thinking, though, it sounds condescending. And believe me, I'm not trying to be a jerk about this, but there's so many questions I have. But like astrology, chakras, channeling, tarot is mentioned at one point. This is all man-made stuff. Like someone thousands of years ago looked up in the sky and said, there's four stars. Well, that's a bull's head.
Right.
Okay. Why is it not a chair? Why, you know, why am I not under the chair sign where I just like to sit and be quiet a lot? You know, like it's
just not in the
cards,
that
kind of stuff really puts me off.
Yeah. Because how much human
influence.
Yeah, right. How much human nature has influenced the things that we see that then become? And that's a question that I don't know. I don't have. And like, I'm like you too. I am very open-minded on this and I want to know. But I think that it's important for us to, like we say, we ask her questions, we voice these things, not to just go, no, right. Fuck you, no, but to be like, I want to know and I want to
it's
be able to
for
ask
understanding. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why I'm like, Linda, please have Avatar speak to me or somebody have somebody give me this experience so that I can then pass it along to others. And so I'll understand it and not be like so cynical and you know, everything is just we're here and then we're gone kind of thing.
Yeah.
I would love to. Please give me that understanding.
That is the grand equalizer is seeing for yourself. I believe it when I see it, you know, and that's an unfortunate reality for most things, though, is that that's what it takes for one way or another.
But why is that such a hard thing to give to us?
It goes back to the whole secrecy thing. Like, why are they only picking and choosing certain people if they're here and they want us to believe that they're here for good? Then come here and show us that you're here for good. Don't hide.
Yeah.
That's me being my own asshole self, just being mad at them. If it's all real and it's all true, you have made me angry. As I shake my fist to the heavens.
Yeah, because
bullshit.
I think you and I feel like we can handle this.
Right. I do. And do I think a lot of people can or can't? No. You know, sure, but I think the grandiose, a grandiose gesture that would happen, a lot of people would come to terms with it pretty damn quick.
Yeah. Now, there's probably an argument to be made, and I don't mean to be the one to make it for people, you know, who believe in this, but she does mention a story in the book where someone astrally projects and, like, is looking up her skirt.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, I guess there would be plenty of people out there who would be pervs. And
I'm a very enlightened rapey pervert. Individual. Yeah, now I need to, you know, I need to work on this so that I can go to the bathroom.
We're all Kevin Bacon in Hollow Man or whatever.
Yeah, you know. This is one of those times where I hope no one ever cuts clips out of the show. That plays. Oh, I'm a very enlightened, rapey individual. Said David Flora.
So you know, there is that argument to be made. But also, I had the thought going through there, if people can do that, if people can astrally project or spy on others, how come we're not using it for good?
Look at the government. They searched they researched this for a long time, and they got at least enough back that they looked into this for a very long time.
Are
you going to tell me that they, and of course what we've heard is not everything that happened.
Sure.
They obviously found some parts of this that were worth researching.
Or they forgot about it.
Yeah, and just let
until somebody else came in and was like, what are we spending money on? F that.
The men who stare up skirts is very different than the men who stare at goats.
That's a different movie. That's George Pooney.
Yeah.
But,
I'm upset that you beat me to that.
But my point is, like, why aren't there, like, to harken back to that, spiritual warriors who are going into these, like, these high-power politicians and figuring out ways to jeopardize them from, you know, and stop them from wrecking countries, wrecking lives, being pedophiles, harboring sex rings and things like, you know, all this stuff that, you know, there are plenty of people up there that are doing this crap. I mean, you know, there's the pedophile plane to Pedo Island or whatever. And I'm not trying to be QAnon here. I'm serious. There are people that are doing this. They just sentenced one of them to prison.
Yeah. That's why your Epstein's and your people like that. It is real. It's not. I'm not saying you're ordering them through Wayfair or
Or they're in a basement of a pizza place in D.C.
Right. There's a big difference between reality and manufactured conspiracy reality. And we got to figure out
there's a way to spy on these jag bags astrally and dig up the dirt to where we could nail them. You know.
Yeah. I'm down for astral nailing as whatever that looks like.
astral espionage, I think, is what.
That is a fucking resume builder. Half third eye will travel.
I don't know. That's where my mind goes with some of this stuff. But I would love to experience it.
I want to hear where our listeners' minds go to. Everyone, if we want to hear where you are at on this, do you believe in any of this? Have you had experiences with this? Have you ever dealt with Reiki? Or have you had an experience with someone talking to you? You can tell us your thoughts, your experiences, your anything by going to Hysteria Nation. That is our Facebook discussion group. Just go to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation. Also, Facebook.com/Hysteria51Pod. Regular Facebook page, which now you can listen to Hysteria 51 while you surf and tell everyone about how much you hate everyone else on the terribleness that is Facebook. At Hysteria 51 Pod, if you want to tweet to us, Patreon, patreon.com/Hysteria51. You can find me and David on there aplenty talking about all sorts of weird news of the week and nonsense.
We got to do another one of those.
I know. We're slacking.
Actually, I have an article I want to talk about, so maybe we should schedule one.
Right? Absolutely. Voicemail 773-669-7277. Again, 773-669-7277. If you're getting any of this, just go to hysteria51.com. David, the maiden voyage of you as the co-host on here, as taking over for the now child-laden John. Thank you so much, man, and many more to come.
My pleasure. I appreciate it. I'm happy to do it, and I hope to bring, I don't know, everything that I can muster.
The pain. Bring the pain.
Yeah, mostly pain. It's mostly pain. I'm glad you pointed that out.
Yeah.
I can only muster pain these days.
Well, there'll be lots more of the David and Brent musings in the future. With that said, I've been Brent.
I've been David.
He's been Conspiracy Bot.
Stay woke, meet sex.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. John and Brent will be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite, join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a fourth-hand joint.